The book of Zechariah in the chapter 4. There's a wonderful verse there in verse 6 of chapter 4. I'm going to read that verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, and with the word of God opened, let's just ask for the Lord's help now as we come to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now that we'll know that power. We ask in Jesus' name that thou will come and draw near to us. Give the preacher help. Open our ears to the truth of thy word. And, O Lord, today may you send us the fire of God. O Lord, as we wait now in your presence, may we know a touch from God. O today that we would know a revival blessing. Lord, come and bless our hearts. O Lord, meet with us now in these moments. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want us for our few thoughts this morning to look at some signs of the Holy Spirit. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we meet together. Zechariah chapter 4 and the verse 6 brings us this wonderful verse. And many knows it, and maybe you've quoted it often. You've maybe mentioned it even in your prayer and so on. And here you have it before your face this morning. Not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In our own adult Bible class, we have been looking at the book of Zechariah. We're near the end of it. And the Lord has blessed us as we've looked into this particular book. Of course, the book and prophet here, Zechariah, deals with God fulfilling his promise with Israel. And that they would be scattered, of course, because of their disobedience. But that one day he would bring that people back to their land again. And let me say to you this morning, God hasn't finished with Israel, nor has he finished with the land and the people, because one day the Lord's going to bring them back to that land. Now, humanly speaking, it seems impossible. Humanly speaking, you think that is never going to happen. How on earth could that ever take place? But friend, this is where this verse comes into play. Because with man, yes, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Because God's going to do it in his way. God's going to do it in his time. And it'll be through the power of his blessed spirit working in their hearts. And they're going to turn again to their Messiah. They're going to turn to the mighty deliverer. They're going to turn to the Savior. And God's going to bring them back to that land again in a wonderful way. And such a work's going to happen through the power of the Spirit of God. You see, that is the same in all of our efforts in God's work. Even in our personal lives, we cannot do a thing for the Lord without the help of the power of the Spirit of God. We cannot live for the Lord without the help of the Spirit of God. We cannot do it. But thank God today we can do it because the Spirit of God is our helper. Praise God, we can witness today. Thank God our church can be effective in the community it's in because of the working of God the Holy Ghost. You will see in the previous verses in verse, before verse 6, how it is explained through the emblems and the verses that is given here. You will see in verse 2 and 3. I haven't time to go into it all this morning, but you will see 7 lamps mentioned. You will see a bowl at the top. You will see 2 olive trees that is brought out and 7 pipes. Of course, the 2 olive trees give forth the oil into the bowl. And then from that, you have the 7 pipes which run to the 7 lamps, therefore providing light. And not only that, therefore assuming ample supply of fuel to keep the lamps burning continually. It'll never run out. I'm glad today there's ample supply for the child of God. Praise God, today we can know that the Holy Ghost is ours. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, God's people miss out because they feel you're going in some other direction, or you're getting very charismatic in your way when you start going down the theme of the Holy Ghost. But child of God, the Holy Ghost is the blessed third person of the Trinity. The Holy Ghost is the one who illuminates the page. The Holy Ghost is the one that shows us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is the one that draws us onto the Savior. And my friend, today, without the Holy Ghost, the work of God isn't completely in vain. So the Holy Ghost is very important in the life of the believer and in the life of the church. And thank God today there's a continual supply. How often we run on half fuel, don't we? How often we miss out with God, and many times because we don't have that supply flowing to us as we ought. And it's not the problem of God. Many times it's the problem of God's people. And therefore, I want us to look at four emblems today, or four signs of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless our hearts. We have been singing about some of them this morning already. We chose those hymns accordingly to the Word of God today, because I believe these are pictures that are given to us. First of all, I want us to look at the breath of God. The first here we have concerning the wind are the breath of God. If you turn to the book of John chapter 3, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking along this particular theme concerning the wind and so on. John and the chapter 3 and the verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Here in the Hebrew and the Greek, the same word is used for wind or breath is the name Spirit, or the title Spirit, both in the Hebrew and the Greek language. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and of course, the background is Nicodemus. He has come to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, and of course the message is, ye must be born again. And I say that of honest today to you, to in our meeting that are unconverted, the message is still the same. Ye must be born again. Even though times have changed, even though many people have moved on, even though maybe in various circles things have got different, let me tell you this from this pulpit here, the message is still the same. Ye must be born again. There's no other way of salvation. But you will see how he uses the wind as an illustration of the Spirit of God. The wind that blows is invisible, isn't it? In its essence, it's invisible. We can't see it. Of course, you can look at the trees and you see the movement of the trees. You can look at the grass, you can see the movement of the grass and so on, but you just don't bang straight into the wind as such. You just don't see it. It's invisible. But let me tell you this, it's no less real, is it? Oh, it's as real as can be. You just feel that wee bit of air coming upon the face. You get a real storm, and I can tell you the wind makes its stamp on many things. You get a tornado runs through a particular town, and it can turn vehicles right upside down. Now you don't see it with a physical eye, but I'll tell you this, it's still real, isn't it? Oh, it lets its presence be known. It's there all right, but just not seen to the natural eye. It's the same with the universe. We have the theme, and there are many young people in today, and you've studied the sciences of education, and you hear talk of this, that, and the other, and you'll hear the message of gravity and so on, and how gravity works. And, well, we don't really see gravity, do we? Although the world is governed by it. The whole universe is governed by gravity. But we don't really see it. But it's still real. Because if it wasn't about, this place would, universe would be in complete chaos. But gravity is still real. Even though you mightn't see it as such, it's still real. And even so, the power of the Holy Spirit, even though you may not see the person, and we talk about a person, it's not an it, the third person of the Godhead, that's why he's given the title. He's very important. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He's a person. And even though you may not see the Holy Ghost, and with a natural eye. That does not mean that the Holy Ghost is not real. He's very real. He's everywhere. You know, He's even in this meeting now. He's working in every heart. Every day the Holy Ghost is at work in the child of God's heart and the unconverted heart. And I pray today that even in God's house, the Spirit of God's working in your heart. Oh, the Spirit of God's real. He's living today. And you will see the Lord Himself referred to Him as the wind or as the breath. That's why we sang in one of our hymns, "Breathe on me, breath of God." My, when somebody's gone out, and if you know anything of first aid, and my, the talk about the kiss of life, what is it? It's breathing into their mouth. My, giving them that breath again, and my, you go through the motions, and the desire is that body will come to life again, and it's the breath, isn't it? Down to the breath. And child of God today, without the Spirit of God in our lives, we are dead. Unsaved person today, you're dead. But thank God there's the blessed Holy Ghost which can make you alive today, can quicken you to your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God today, child of God. The Holy Spirit can revive us. That's what it means. The breath to revive us again. My, aren't we spiritually dead today? Friend, I am. And child of God, you've got to answer for yourself today. But my, as you said in God's house, don't answer to me, but answer to God. And my, if we examined our lives today, my, we're dead, aren't we? Thank God there's the breath of the Spirit of God. What does God's church need today? It needs a reviving. How do we get it? By the blessed Spirit of God. Why? Because He's the breath of God. And we sang in one of our hymns, "Breathe on me, breath of God." And today we need that breath. Oh, how a blessing comes when the breath of God comes. Oh, today what this congregation in Macrofelt needs. And what our works need and what our future missions needs with our young people is this. Oh, that God would breathe His Spirit upon us again. You know, we're crying and praying that God will set our prayer meetings on fire. And my, we're praying that God will energize our services again and bring life to them. How does it come, friend? We have got it in the Word of God today. It's through God's breath. The reviving of a spirit. Oh, may God breathe that breath in my soul today. Oh, may He do it for His work. My, things happen when God's Spirit is breathed upon a people. You turn to the book of Acts chapter 2 and you'll see what happens. Oh yes, it's not exactly there. We don't see with a natural eye. But friend, I'll tell you this, you will know the blessed working of the Spirit of God when He starts to work. Just like the wind, we don't see it coming as such for us. It's not just there for the natural eye to see, but my, when it hits us, my, we can feel it. My, we feel that refreshing, we feel that strength at times of the wind. And here in Acts chapter 2 and the verse 2, we read these words, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven," listen, "as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Oh, here they'd gathered together, a little nucleus of God's people. And my, they were waiting on the move of the Spirit of God. God had promised power, and they were waiting for power. And as they met together there, in that little cluster of people, and my, they were waiting on God moving. Look what it says, "And suddenly." Oh, God can move suddenly. Friend, in God's house today, believer in God's house, do you really know today that God could move even today upon your soul? Believe it. God works suddenly. He works suddenly in salvation, but He works suddenly in God's service as well. And my, He can come suddenly. And these people meeting here, and they were waiting and waiting, and suddenly there was that sound from heaven of us, a rushing mighty wind. Oh, they felt it. They felt the move of God upon their soul. My, they realized something was happening. And as they sat there, the wind filled the house. Oh, they knew he was there. Friend, that's what we need. That's what we need in all of our gatherings. My, we need the Spirit of God to move that everyone in the preaching house knows that God's in the place. They feel the breath of God upon them. That's what's happened in revivals of the past. What happened? There was the rushing mighty wind. People were waiting for it. Christians were praying for it. Yes, and they were in dark days, just like days that we're living in today. But thank God, God had promised them revival breath. And thank God He sent it. And what a difference it made. Oh, the emblem of the Holy Spirit. My, it regenerates the heart. And it empowers us for the service of the Master. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. What does God want us to be today, child of God? Matthew chapter 5, and we read there in the verse 14. And it says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God wants His people to be effective. God wants His people to be ones who are seen and shining for the Lord. God doesn't want your light under a bushel. God wants that light to shine brightly for the Master. And friend, how do we do it? We do it under the power of God the Holy Ghost, His breath, God's breath. Oh, may you cry today, God, breathe upon me. Then there's the fire of God that is mentioned as well. Another emblem of the Spirit is that of fire. If you turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4, you will see this brought out. I like to give you references so that you have it for your own personal benefit. That you will see that it's the Word of God, that these things aren't made up. The breath of God, John 3 and 8. The fire of God, Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4, and we read, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the Spirit of judgment, and by the Spirit of burning. He's the fire today. We just sang in our final hymn there. Oh, concerning the fire, send the fire. In Isaiah chapter 6, that's why we read it this morning. I'm not turning it up till again. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, the name seraphim is used for the holy and heavenly creatures serving before the throne. We read it this morning. They're before the throne. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy. My, they're there before the blessed throne of heaven. And in the Hebrew language, seraphim means the burning ones. You will see the brightness that they burned there in that chapter 6. The brightness of the seraphims. You will see it mentioned there in those verses. And my, it says, the whole earth is full of His glory. And there the seraphims are the burning ones. The Spirit of God is seen as fire. The unfailing presence of Jehovah in the wilderness was seen by the burning cloud. You turn to Exodus and the chapter 40, the book of Exodus, chapter 40, you will see it brought out. Here's the children of Israel going through the wilderness. Maybe feeling lonely, and many times you can study their life. Maybe feeling times downcast. Maybe wondering where we're really heading to. But they had the wonderful presence of God in the midst. You know, friend, it's very easy, even for the child of God, to feel in conditions like that at times. It's very easy when life comes with its hardships and its tough days and its days when the sun has gone behind the clouds. Days when you have to face the battle of life. Days when you maybe have to go through times of sickness and you feel there's no one else really around. and it's hard. You feel like in the wilderness. Let me tell you this, it was difficult for the children of God, but there was one thing that they had the assurance of, even in the wilderness, even in the tough times, even when there was no one else with them, was this, they had the eternal presence of God. Praise God today, child of God, He's ever with us. If you believe that today, say amen. Because I'll tell you this, I'm glad the Spirit of God is always with me. Oh, friend, when you're in the darkest moment, and friend, in God's house, I don't know what's down the line for you, and I don't know what's down the line for me, but when you visit sick people, my, they'll testify, you know, the Lord's with me. What's that? They're talking about the Spirit of God with them. Even in times of difficulty, God's Spirit is there. Oh, His unfailing presence. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 40 and verse 34, it says these words, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." I heard of a family recently had lost a loved one. They're not from this area, so you needn't start trying ticking over in your mind who it is, so they're not from here. But their father had been very ill for a period of time, and of course now the Lord was going to take him home. One of the family members said to this person, "You know, we got round Dad's bedside and we started to pray. And we just prayed that God would take Dad home because Dad was ready to go and he knew he was going to." And you say, they said to this person, "This might be a strange thing to say when you're gathered around a deathbed, but we've got to say it because it's amazing. As we gathered there and as we were singing together and as we were praying together and God was moving in our midst and Dad was just asking for the Lord to take him home and we were praying along with him, you know, we had a wonderful sense of the Lord's presence right in the midst. It was the most wonderful time we ever had." Why? Because the eternal Spirit of God was with them through it all. Oh, what a difference it makes when God the Holy Ghost is among His people. Oh, what a difference it makes when you know that the blessed Spirit of God, even though family may not be there and others may not be gathered around, you know today that Jesus Christ, through the person of God, the Holy Ghost, is in the midst. And my, look what it says on down. "And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up." My, they followed the blessed Spirit of God. The Spirit of fire in the midst. It was witnessed by the priests in the temple by the Shekinah glory. If you have your own study time, you can turn to 1 Kings and the chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 concerning the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. My, you see it there in all His splendor and all in His great work. "Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the fire that moves in power the whole work of God." When I was studying this, I was reading a story, and it was a wonderful story, and I'm going to give it to you. I was reading about a man, and he was a businessman, and he had got a new company up and running, and he was walking around the plant. Everything was in place. The building was set up. All the mechanisms were inside. Everything was in its position. And he was walking around, and yet there was nothing produced. It was as quiet as can be. There was nothing happening. Everything was there, but nothing was happening. One man came along and he explained to him, you know, what's going on. And he started to tell him about his business and so on. But he says, with everything in its place, but there's nothing happening. And what this man says, well, get some oil, employ a few men to oil the machinery and the burns and so on. And my, that'll get everything running. And so he did that. But still nothing happened. Another man came along. He went through the same story. He says, well, you know, maybe a wee bit of decorating would do the job. Get a few plasters in. Do the ceilings, do the walls. Make a nice entrance porch. And even put a few stained glass windows in. And my, that'll brighten the place up and it'll make it more attractive and so on. And things will be happening. But nothing did happen. Another man came along. And he says, you know, you need a bit of music in the place. Just to add to it and keep everybody happy. A wee bit of music. So he put the music in, but there was nothing happened either. Another man came along. He went through the same story. He says, you know, you really need publicity. You need to go till the pictures, you have pictures taken. You need a magazine made up. You need articles in the newspapers and so on. And he did all that, but still nothing happened. Then finally another wee man came along. And he told him the story. And he told him what all these individual men had said to him. He says, I've done it all. But he says, there's still nothing happening. And the wee man said these words, sir, I don't know anything about all these things that has been mentioned to you. But he says, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you ever try putting a fire under the boiler? And the man answered, no. And the man got his coat off and he went to the furnace and he opened the furnace door and he got the coal and he lit a fire. And in a short period of time, everything started to move. What am I getting at? Friend, we could have all the mechanisms we have. We can have all the meetings we want. We can book every day out in the church calendar. We can go through all the formalities and things like that. But without fire in the boiler, the work's in vain. I don't care who it is today. We can have all the things. This is what the story's getting at. He could have everything sitting there, all in its rightful place. All these things sitting beautiful and brand new. But there's nothing happening. Nothing's being produced. Why? Because the fire wasn't in the boiler. And sometimes that's the same in the Christian life with every believer. And let me say, when I say every believer, that's including me, by the way. Don't be sitting there thinking, oh, and getting your hump on and thinking, oh, he's talking about me, what about himself? I am talking about myself. It was speaking to me first when I was studying it before I went. And when I heard that wee story, I thought, well, you know, that's exactly true. Fire in the boiler. And friend, this morning, many times we're going on a low fuel supply, aren't we? Sometimes the old boiler's clocked out. It's not going anymore. Oh yes, you might be going through the mechanisms of Christianity. Oh yes, you're reading your Bible. You're going through your prayer. You're even attending the house of God and everything. But really today, the fire's not there. In fact, if we read in the book of Revelation, we're probably neither cold nor warm. Oh, friend, today what we need in our personal lives and in God's work is fire in the boiler again. That God would fire us up and we would do something real for the Lord. Not just going through the motions. Not clocking in one time and clocking out the other, no. But my, we get the fire of God and we really do something for the Lord. The emblem of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may God fire us up today as we sit in God's house. Maybe you're cold in heart this morning. You once loved the Lord. You once served the Lord with gladness. You once read His Word with joy. You once had your hand as such to the words, to the plow. You were involved in God's work, but today you're in the back seat. Not talking just about those in the back seat, by the way, but in the phrase. Today you're on the outline area. And if you were honest with yourself, oh, and you would say today, Philip, that's exactly where I'm at. There's no fire in the boiler anymore. Thank God you can get the fire again. And where you're sitting in God's house today, Lord, you know the condition of my heart and you know this old boiler has clapped out. Lord, it hasn't been working on full steam for a long time. But oh God, today, start the fire again in my heart. God, today may the smoke rise from this old boiler again and help me to go at full steam again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, this is not a man's work. This is God's work. Man's title is not over this. This is God's work. Oh God, fire the flame again in my soul and help me to go on full steam for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the clothing of God. You have here in the book of Judges, if you just take a wee moment or two to turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges and the chapter 6 and the verse 34, the clothing of God or the clothing of the Spirit of God. And we're here, we have Gideon, and Gideon's been called by God. He's going to do battle for the Lord, and friend, that's what we're called to. Yes, we ought to look after the people of God. That's the welfare of the church. We talk about the welfare outside. Let me tell you this, God's people have to be cared for and nurtured. God's people have to be looked after. God's people at times needs nursing. That's exactly true. They need to be cared for. They need to be looked after. Times they're down, they need to be carried through. That's the welfare of the church. But sometimes we're called to do warfare in the church. God's work is a time of difficulty. God's work is a time of battlement against the devil and against apostasy and so on. But thank God, here's Gideon, and God calls him. And God says to him in verse 34 of Judges 6, and it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." And that word "upon" there, you've got it there, or "came upon," means to be clothed. Means to be clothed. It's as if his old rags of self and his old rags of doubt were taken off, and the Spirit of God clothed him now with power to do the work that God had called him to do. You'll read of Zechariah again in 2 Chronicles and the chapter 24. I'm not turning up for time purposes. And the verse 20. But you will read again concerning the clothing. This figure is also used by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 24. Just turn to that a moment. Luke chapter 24, the Lord uses this particular term as well. And the verse 49, and it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high," or "be clothed." The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples here. He was now saying to them, they were going out to do a ministry for him. They were going out to serve him. They were going out to an untoward generation. They were going to go and work among easy folk. They were going to work among difficult folk. They were going to set up churches here, there, and yonder. And they were going out into a place of warfare. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ was hated. His disciples were hated, and now they were going with the message of the Lord Jesus. And of course the message would be hated as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ promised here there was clothing for them. There was a thing here that was going to happen upon them until ye be endued with power from on high. And the fear that would come, and the defeat that they felt, God was clothing them with power. Thank God he can do the same for you and me. Go and tell our loved ones to witness to them. Thank God he can clothe us with power. Oh, you see, if we plan to do it in our own selves, we will feel defeated. If we're going to do it in our own strength, the devil will come up with great, strong power to destroy. And even in God's work, he's always at God's work to try and hamper the work of God and hinder the work of God and to stop the work of God. But praise God, there's power for God's work. And he can enclothe us. He can dress us up. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told about the armory, friend. Above all things, this is what we need today. Yes, the armor of God. We need the clothing of God. You remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter, of course, denied the Lord Jesus Christ. A little girl came to him and asked him, was he not one of them? And of course, he denied it. He denied the Lord right till the last, crowing. He denied the Lord. But thank God, when you read of Peter again and he's come back to the Lord, he's now a preacher. And on the day of Pentecost, my, he had the joy of pointing precious souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? God endued him. God clothed him. And thank God, he can clothe you and me today, and he can make us fearless for the Lord Jesus Christ. The raiment of power is what every believer needs in the Christian life. Clothing. Clothed with the power of God. What does our young brethren need when it comes to the mission? It's not newfangled ideas. It's not a whole lot of excitement or rush. Let me tell you this. They need to be endued with the power of God. What does all of our preachers need and our missionaries need? Our Sunday school teachers need? Our youth workers need? You can go through them all today. What do they need today? They need to be endued with the power of God. Clothed by the Spirit of God. And then we'll be effective. We'll do something for the Lord. And then can I say to you in the final place this morning, we have the seal of the Spirit of God. After we have been saved, after we have been washed and purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, after we have been redeemed from our bondage and gloriously brought to the Lord Jesus in salvation, it's good to know that the Spirit of God seals that particular work. You see, sometimes Satan comes along to discourage us. Maybe you're a young Christian in God's house today. Maybe you're young in the faith. And the devil has given you a hard time in the week that has gone past. Maybe you've even questioned whether you're saved or not. Maybe at times you've questioned, will I ever get to heaven? Maybe you've questioned at times, will I ever really come through for the Lord? Will I ever reach those places? And the devil uses many things and to doubt us. Maybe even today as you sit in God's house, you've battled all week with these questions. Thank God today, you'll make it. Praise God, you'll make it to heaven all right. Praise God, you'll see it through. Why? Because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Not only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but thank God sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. If you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians just for a few moments, and I know our time's gone, I will do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 22. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22, and it says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Another reference, I'm not turning it up, but you'll turn it in yourself time. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. You will read again concerning the seal. A seal among men is for ownership, signifying a finished transaction. When you do a particular business, whether it's in buying a car, whether it's purchasing a home or whatever, they'll ask for your signature to seal the whole thing. Don't they? Without it, nothing will happen. But it will happen once you sign that signature. The seal's been made. The transaction is finished. The seal has been placed there. The work's done. A reference to back that up. I'm not turning it up. You can turn it up in your own time. Jeremiah 32 and verse 10. The transaction's done. And the blessed Holy Spirit is our seal. What? Because the work of salvation is done. Done in the heart. I'm not saved today because it's me keeping my salvation. I'm not saved today because some man said I was saved. I'm saved and sound today because the Spirit of God has sealed it. Thank God, sealed on to that wonderful day when I meet my Savior in the sky. A seal speaks of security. Proclaiming a watchful care over that. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was at the tomb. They sealed up the tomb and they set a watch over it. Thank God today, man doesn't need to tell me today that I'm saved, the blessed Spirit of God does. The blessed Word of God does, and assures me of my salvation. You're saved today. Why? Because God's Word tells us. The Spirit of God has sealed it. God marks His property. He's watching over His property every new day. And thank God, not one of His children will be lost. We'll reach it. Oh, we'll reach the promised land because God has promised it. The Spirit of God has sealed it. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4, you'll read of a company of people there. When you turn to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1, you'll read of the same company. What's that emphasizing? Not one's lost. Those that were mentioned in Revelation 7 and verse 4 are the same ones mentioned in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. They made it home. They made it safe and well. And thank God today, child of God, maybe you've battled during the week. The devil's given you a hard time. Rejoice today, you're secure in Christ. You're safe today because the Spirit of God has sealed that wonderful work of salvation. And praise God today, it's not me keeping myself, but thank God it's Him keeping me. John chapter 14 tells us there, and with this morning we'll finish. You have those wonderful words in John chapter 10, concerning the shepherd, and it tells us we're in the Father's hand, and then it tells us you're in my hand, and then it says, I and my Father are one. You're totally secure today. You'll reach heaven well. Oh, friend, today as we have looked at these emblems of the Holy Spirit, I trust today they've blessed your heart. And today you'll look to the Lord to breathe upon you, to fire you up, to clothe you with power from on high, and every day give you that continual assurance that you're sealed onto that great day. And then one day we'll be with Him for all eternity. God's work needs God's power. And the promise of God's word is today, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Friend, that's what we need in our work that will commence in a few weeks' time. That's what our young people need for the mission. That's what we all need for our individual lives from day to day, is the blessed power of God the Holy Ghost. May you pray today, Lord, help me to catch the fire. Lord, clothe me with power from above. And make me effective in my home life, in my work life, and in my church life. Lord, make me that light that burns brighter onto that great day. May the Lord bless His word to your heart. Let's pray. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your attention. And may the Lord just bless your heart through His word today. And may God set His people and His work on fire again for the glory of His name. If you don't know the Lord, oh, may the Spirit of God challenge your need this morning to that. And may you come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're cold in heart. Maybe today you're not going the way as you would like to. Thank God there's mercy with Him. You can come back to Him. Just as Peter came back to the Lord and the Lord sent him on His way and He pointed multitudes to the Savior, God can do the same for you. May you come back to Him this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your presence in our midst. Thank You for help given. We pray, O Lord, that in these days upon Your work, send revival power. Send us a blessed Pentecost, we pray. And Lord, breathe upon Thy work again. And O Lord, that we'll be faithful until the coming of our Savior. Lord, meet and visit Thy church. Breathe upon it, fire it up, and endue it with power in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say it. Amen.